Oh man, you're ripping things up over Woo! There. You're playing the guitar and
what kind of West?
Jim West, Desperado.
Don't want no.
You don't want to see my gun with my hip react.
You don't want to see my lip with my hip.
You don't
want to
see my
react.
Hand with my hip react. You don't want to be at with my hand with my hip react.
You know where it'd be at.
Yeah.
This is Action Features.
It's Action Features, the show.
That was Pixies with Chagalaga. I did two Pixies songs because I saw them twice in concert.
Pixels. You watched it twice at the theater.
I watched the movie twice.
You're a huge fan of Pixels.
Oh, I love Adam Sandler movies.
That's a cool Steve McQueen shirt, man. I didn't know she had that on.
Thanks.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, I got it at a store online.
Cool, man.
You know.
Nice job shopping online. Nice job not supporting small businesses in person.
If a small business wants to present me with a McQueen shirt.
McQueen.
And I would be happy to give them money.
So what are we going to talk about this time, dude?
McQueen.
Come check out our fine selection of McQueen shirts.
McQueen.
What are we going to talk about?
I don't know.
Random stuff. We got a top five in here.
Yeah.
You know?
I know we had a top five.
We don't have a lot of stuff to talk about this time.
Maybe we'll actually do a short episode this time.
It might be a short one. Who knows?
I bet we'll fill it out, though.
Let's save the one thing that leads into the top five until we get close to the top five.
Okay.
First of all, what snacks you got over there?
What? Let's see. We've got Smart Food Delight White Cheddar Popcorn.
Okay.
It's okay.
And you've got a box of Little Debbie 50%. Oatmeal Cream Pies and Little Debbie Pecan or pecan, however you want to say it.
Spin wheels.
There's really no reason to call them spin wheels. You could have just called them pinwheels.
You could have. They spin them, though, probably.
We had delicious pie today from Bluebird Bakery here in Cincinnati.
Thanks, Bobby.
That Bobby brought by. Thank you, my wife, Bobby, bringing that pie.
That was good pie.
Wasn't it good?
That was really good
pie. It was real good. There's still some left. I'm probably going to take it home.
Take it home, I guess.
Probably is going to take it home.
That's what you got to do. Let them have some of it.
Let them have some of it, too.
You can come home and throw it down like a king and just say, I'm finished.
Have my leftovers.
You may...
I've eaten all the top crust off.
You may break into my remains.
I'm
going to
have...
It's
awesome to have one of these oatmeal cream pies.
It does look pretty good.
You want to do the honors? I need to open another person's snacks.
They're our snacks.
Okay. All right. So I got some Marvel stuff to talk about.
Are we going to Marvel
right
at it?
The bat. Marvel Legacy, so far, big disappointment.
Oh, yeah.
Marvel made this big announcement of, it's going to change the industry. It made it sound like they're returning to classic characters. And I think we talked about it on the show. I was pretty excited about it.
I think you did. And didn't they say that we are returning to classic characters?
And all the art shows classic characters. But then they said it's going to change the industry, and they made this announcement showing a bunch of the titles. And so far, it's just like more of the same.
Yep.
It's renumbering a little bit. It's covers that kind of pay tribute to old covers, but it looks like it's the same stuff they've been doing. It doesn't look like a return to classic Marvel, other than the fact that it's redoing old classic covers. I really hope there's more to it than this, because... They made it sound like the announcement that Friday was going to change the industry, and it did nothing to change the industry. It was the same boring stuff that Marvel's been doing for a while now.
Well, didn't you say that they had a conference?
Yeah, there was so much disappointment that Marvel had to do a conference call with Comics Pro or something like that to kind of, you know, calm things down.
Maybe that's what they meant by change the industry. Maybe after this, Comics Pro is not going to trust any other
company. Trust any of this stuff anymore. Yeah. But it was almost a resoundingly unanimous disappointment in the announcement. Everybody was like, that's it. This is it. It's the same crap you've been doing. This isn't anything new or changing or going back to what it was before. This is the exact same stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. They have to get their act. They have to know that when they made the announcement and people got so excited about it, and now that they did this announcement and people hate it so much and they're so disappointed by it, that they have to get back to it.
Yeah.
They can't just keep going, we'll tease we're getting back to it, but then not get back to it. No, we'll say we're going to get back to it, but then we're not going to actually get back to it. The response is showing that they really need to get back to it. If you want to make sales, you have to get back to it.
Well, why would you think that would work?
I don't know.
Why would you think that promising something that...
It's Marvel. They promise stuff all the time and then don't follow through on it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess there's just so many writers and artists and people in charge over at Marvel right now that want to make a name for themselves by doing certain things, getting their, like we talked about this, getting their name in Entertainment Weekly as the writer that does this, or, oh, they've turned Iron Man into this, and this is the writer and artist responsible. And, oh, Marvel's doing this with the character. They're turning Captain America into, he's been Hydra all along, and here's the person in charge. And here, I think there's so much a drive to be a name now that it doesn't really matter what they're doing with the characters. Like, it's, because the characters mean nothing to them. It's just a matter of getting the publicity out of what they do to these characters. That's really disappointing. So I was hoping that this was the signal. I'm still holding out some hope that maybe that's just the first wave of announcements and the actual crux of the story is kind of being held back still and that we will see the return. But if they do this again, if they pull another, here's another announcement regarding Marvel Legacy, it's really going to shake things up and it's the same crap. I'm not even picking it up.
Why would you?
Any of the books.
Why would you?
Why would you?
I wouldn't.
Why would you?
I wouldn't do it.
What do you got?
Speaking of Marvel, might as well go this route. I saw a trailer for The Inhumans today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I didn't know it was a TV show. I thought it was a movie. Mm-hmm. And the quality is obviously TV show quality. And I thought, is this a joke that somebody's doing? I didn't realize.
Yeah.
But it is a TV show, so whatever. But looks very uninteresting to me with a lot of bland characters. I don't know the characters.
It's like they keep trying to push Inhumans because Marvel has rights to Inhumans. So they're trying to push those over the X-Men. It's like their answer to X-Men.
Yeah, I see.
And in the comics and now in this, it seems like they're trying to make Inhumans click. But Inhumans has never really clicked. Like, it's never been a Fantastic Four, an X-Men, and Avengers. It's just not been at that level. It's just like a offshoot of Fantastic Four, basically, for me. It's always been just a storyline for the Fantastic Four and not the draw that they want it to be now.
That's what it kind of looked like to me. It was like, it's like just leftover stuff.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I like Inhumans. I'm not saying I don't like it. I just don't think it needs a TV series.
Well, my thought is it's probably not going to have that TV series for too long because I don't see how it can.
I don't see it catching
hold on. Anybody's interest. There was a couple things. The dog
Lockjaw looks awesome.
Kind of neat.
I was excited about Lockjaw. I hate the way Black Bolt looks. It's
which one is he? The one in the black outfit.
Doesn't talk.
Okay.
Yeah, the one in the black outfit. Right. Which one? Right. They shied away from doing the classic look of Black Bolt, and Black Bolt looks really cool. He's a really cool design. And all you did was just put the symbol on his like black jacket
thing. I noticed at one point too, he was running through a city, and he's just wearing a gray suit with a shirt with the top unbuttoned. I'm thinking like, man, these people cannot
superhero
wait.
Heat.
They cannot wait to take an interesting looking superhero with a costume and colors and put him into a black leather outfit and then quickly get him into just a suit.
Get him in plain clothes as fast as we can.
And please get him in a Chicago looking area. If we can film this in Chicago or New York, it'd be great. Just get him into there quickly.
Yeah. Which, I mean, it's a TV series budget, so I guess.
Yeah. It seems like, I don't know, they could do okay elsewhere. But anyway, so that came out. But speaking of Marvel trailers and ones that are doing things right, the Black Panther trailer, I saw, which
I liked it a lot.
It might have been out the last.
We did. I talked about it. I think I talked about liking it. I hadn't seen it yet.
Well, I liked it.
Yeah.
A lot. And I love that it's just him.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, yeah. Man.
And I love that it's mostly jungle. It looks like it's primarily just jungle stuff. And
yeah.
It looks like very different and very unique to itself. And it doesn't look like everything else.
Yep. And great. That's it. Just Black Panther.
Great.
Yeah. I also like Andy Serkis, which Andy Serkis played the character Claw in Avengers Age of Ultron. But I like him being brought back for this. And I always like seeing Andy Serkis.
As him?
As
not,
him.
Yeah, not in a mask.
And not just a CGI character or something like that. Because he is a really good actor.
Yeah.
And getting to see him actually, the voice with the face is always nice. So I hope he has a pretty substantial role in Black Panther. Because I think he'd make a great villain carried into other Marvel stuff. You know?
Yeah.
Another thing with Marvel... So there's a lot of confusion going on as to Sony's spinoff Spider-Man movies.
Yes.
They got Venom slated now, and they got Silver and Black, which is Silver Sable and Black Cat, that are their spinoff Spider-Man titles. Well, they were having some kind of interview with Amy Pascal from Sony and Kevin Feige from Marvel Studios. And they asked the question, so are Venom and Spider-Man or Sable, Silver Sable, Black Cat, are they in the same universe as Spider-Man Homecoming? And Amy Pascal, who doesn't, judging by the leaked emails, doesn't really know a whole lot about what's going on or what's, you know, how to connect certain things together. She had this answer that was very vague, but at the same time, kind of like said, oh yeah, they're totally connected to the Spider-Man Homecoming universe that we're building. They're adjunct to it, and it's all building that whole universe together, which kind of made everybody think, okay, so they're saying that Venom and Silver Sable Black Cat are in the Spider-Man Homecoming universe, or they aren't? Because Kevin Feige kept saying what Sony does with the other thing, aren't it connected? But now she made it sound like they are connected. So now Kevin Feige, who had a really confused look on his face when she said it at the interview, has been asked a few times, and he's saying that no, that Spider-Man will not appear in those other films. So it's very confusing if the Venom movie will actually even have a spot for Spider-Man, if Spider-Man will be mentioned, if he can be mentioned. It's very confusing.
It's really weird.
If you're building the Spider-Man movie universe, how can you do that without using Spider-Man? You can't do that without using Spider-Man.
Not really.
How do you make a Venom and Carnage movie without Spider-Man? I can kind of see you making a Silver Sable Black Cat movie without Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But Venom Carnage, you kind of need Spider-Man.
Yeah. They definitely go.
I don't know what they're doing. I have no idea.
Maybe it sounds like they don't know what they're doing either.
At first, I thought that maybe that Tom Holland would be able to appear in those other films, and that would make sense. That, okay, so you've got Spider-Man Homecoming, you've got the Spider-Man films, and Spider-Man's appearances in the Marvel Studio films that all stay together, right? Mm-hmm. But then the Spider-Man character can also appear in these other Sony films, and those other Sony films aren't connected to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, though. So the stuff that Spider-Man does in those films wouldn't be connected to what's going on at Marvel Studios. That would make sense to me. So Spider-Man appeared in Venom Carnage, and things happen in that. They happened, and they go on, but they're not talked about or touched on in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So Venom and Carnage wouldn't appear in a Spider-Man film, and that was created by Marvel, like Spider-Man Homecoming is, or in Avengers or anything like that, but it still happened and it's over there and it's still the same Spider-Man. It's just separating the two.
Seems like these two companies would strike a deal to say, okay, let's get everything cohesive and we'll sell you this for this amount of money. And
I would hope so too. But I think that the whole deal with Spider-Man Homecoming is that basically Sony pays for it, but Marvel did all the work. And I don't know if they want to make that same deal for all the other films. And I don't know if Marvel Studios even wants to make those other films. I think they were just interested in having Spider-Man be part of the universe again. But I don't know if they're interested in doing all the stuff that Sony wants to do, like a Venom movie and a Silver Sable movie. I think that Sony wants to build their own Marvel Cinematic Universe with the stable characters they have. But to Marvel Studios, those characters probably aren't as appealing as standalone films that they don't want to do anything with.
Yeah.
But the whole confusion over what Kevin Feige said and that no, that Spider-Man won't appear in those films makes it super confusing why they're trying to build a Spider-Man cinematic universe at Sony if they can't actually use Spider-Man in them.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Makes no sense whatsoever. I think Tom Hardy will be an awesome Venom.
Sure.
But without Spider-Man, the Venom story doesn't work.
Right.
Very confusing.
Who knows, man?
Very confusing.
Speaking of confusing, let's watch the trailer for Jumanji 2.
Yeah, I also watched it.
It's got The Rock in it.
Mm.
Honestly, as a kid, this probably would be a fun movie.
Yeah.
As an adult, it seems like it'd be a headache for me.
Mm-hmm.
But here we have Dwayne The Rock. Dwayne The Rock Johnson has to... He's got to be working. He's got to have a twin that nobody knows about, and he's doing all these movies. He's working all the time. He's in every single movie that there is. But in the movie, these kids get sucked into a Jumanji video game.
And they're the video game characters.
Right. The video game, they find an old video game. Looks like an Atari. Looks like an old system. And they pull it up, and it looks like a very modern screen. Like, the graphics are very clear. It's not like 8-bit or anything like that. It's like very clear.
It's kind of Nintendo-y a little bit in this character select screen, but maybe not. Maybe a little past Nintendo.
A little past Nintendo. And then they get in there, and they're all these very modern type characters.
Well, you haven't played a video game since 1992.
That's
so
true.
To you, they're probably
it seems outlandish to me, but I am happy that they did it's a sequel and not a remake.
Yeah.
But,
well, it's kind of a pseudo sequel because they weren't playing a video game in the original Jumanji.
Right.
It was a board game.
None of the same characters were in there. Yeah. So yeah, how did this Jumanji video game, because the whole thing was that it's a very old game. It's very old.
Yeah.
And it's ancient. And there's this mysticism around it.
Exactly.
And the fact
who then made the video game to pull him into there?
Yeah, somebody in the age of technology had to throw together a
exactly. Why couldn't they just find the board game? Magic.
Why couldn't they find the board
Why
game
Why couldn't
again?
They just find the board game again? Do kids not play board games? There's a whole board game aisle at Toys R Us. Kids still play board games.
No, they don't. They are on their cell phones is what I hear. And that's what I see in movies, because in this movie also, all the kids are flipping
their... They love the cell phone.
Oh, they've got their cell phones
They've got the
out.
Cell phone. They downloaded the app. The Jumanji app.
They've got all the apps.
I was disappointed in this trailer.
Yeah.
The cool thing about Jumanji, the original one, is it's a board game, and that's really neat.
Yeah.
And it wasn't so much that you got to see what Alan was doing in the Jumanji world. It was bringing the Jumanji world into our world. I really don't... And Alan didn't become somebody else.
Right.
He was Alan inside the game. He didn't become a character... In the game, he was transported into the Jumanji world and then grew up there into the Robin Williams.
Yeah.
So the fact that they are being different people inside the game is kind of weird to me. It's like they're not really playing the game.
It looks like they're going to get some
characters.
They're going to get some comedy. They're going to get some bits out of that.
I guess.
The redhead girl is.
Yeah, she's inside
Jack Black. And
I don't know. I mean, it might be a fun kind of action adventure movie with some comedy. But if I want Jumanji, I'll just watch the original one.
You can watch that. Or watch
Zathura.
Zarethra?
Zathura was good, Zathura? Too. I liked Zathura.
Yeah.
So.
Space.
I'm okay.
That's okay.
And again, Zathura was the same deal. It was the kids were still the kids. They were just going into that Zathura world.
Yeah.
They weren't turning into somebody else. I don't know. I guess it was a way to have The Rock in the movie.
It's the way to
you
got
to find a way to get
it's
Rock
the way
in the
to
movie.
Get The Rock in.
And Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart.
Gotta get these guys in
Kevin Hart is very funny.
He's very funny.
I don't find him too funny in movies. Most of his movies he does is kind of like,
okay.
Okay. That's,
all right.
That's worth a chuckle.
Okay. Yeah. What else you got? Anything?
Boss Fight Studios showed their Vitruvian Hacks Series 2. They're up for pre-order.
Hmm.
They have a Skeleton Warrior. Now, they had skeletons before, but this one has a full set of armor.
Oh, that's cool.
With a different, it looks like its own skeleton head. It's not the old one. It looks fantastic. I'm not going to get it. It looks fantastic, but they have a wizard and a couple elf ladies and
awesome.
A dark elf and like a regular elf with a bow and a knight. And they just look fantastic. So if anybody's inclined, check those out.
I've got a couple toy things that you said that. Did you see the Mythic Legions Adamon? He's an exclusive to, I think, San Diego Con and Power. Maybe debuting at San Diego and then available Power Con. I don't know for sure. But it's basically like one of their barbarian type characters, but it's kind of painted up like He-Man.
Oh, cool.
It's really neat looking.
Barbarian.
I'll bring up a picture of it. Give me 1 second here. That's a line that I just couldn't get into because the Kickstarter just got too big. We've talked about this before. Where they become to the point where it's, you don't even know where to start and you don't know where to stop. And it's just, it's too much.
I don't know how you can do these lines at the prices. I hate to.
I mean, this guy is way cool looking.
Cool mouth, but
look at that.
That's really cool.
He's really neat looking. And they said there's going to be another figure revealed too, which I'm sure is going to be a take on Skeletor. I just can't.
Skeleton.
I don't even know where I don't even know how many figures there are in this line anymore. There's just, they seem like they were adding stuff all the time. And that's great for them. I'm glad it's a success. It's always nice to see good creators getting a successful thing going and the fans really supporting it. I personally, though, I just can't do like 30 figures in one shot. You know, it's just too much money. I don't know how some people do it.
It's the way of the future.
It's the way of the future. The other thing was Hasbro just showed their Thor Marvel Legends wave. With the Build-A-Figure Gladiator Hulk.
Oh.
And that is way cool looking, man. Yeah. I've always thought Gladiator Hulk was a great design. They haven't done a Gladiator Hulk in a while. And this one's based on the movie. But it's a wave that... I don't really need a bunch of Thor figures. I like Thor. I don't mind Thor.
Sure.
But I don't really need Thor figures. I do want the Gladiator Hulk. So that's one where it's like, man, the Build-A-Figure is so tempting to me.
The Build-A-Figure is the Hulk.
It's the Hulk. Okay. It's the Gladiator Hulk.
Yeah, that's tough.
But you got to buy a movie Thor, a movie Hela, a movie Loki.
Hello.
And then you got to buy a comic Thor. You got to buy a comic Jane Foster, female Thor. And you've got to buy Ares, which I don't mind Ares. I don't mind Ares. But I don't need the other five figures.
You know that Hulk's going to turn up.
It's sale. Going to, but I wonder how much it's going to be. It's such a crapshoot with those Build-A-Figures. Sometimes they're super cheap online. Other times they're way expensive online. So it's, I don't know. It's almost like the draw of the wave will depend on how expensive the Build-A-Figure is. If the figures in the wave are more of a draw, then the Build-A-Figure gets cheaper. If the Build-A-Figure is more desirable than the figures, then the Build-A-Figure is more expensive. So in this case, I think the Build-A-Figure is going to be pretty expensive because probably a lot of people like me that don't really need all those Thor figures.
Probably right.
You know, especially with three of them movie-based. We don't have any idea how the movie's going to go yet.
Yeah.
So, all right. You got it? Is that everything you got? I still got some left.
I have a couple things.
All right.
One being, I saw the movie Split. And everybody should know. I don't want to spoil it, but if you don't want anything spoiled in the next 2 minutes, skip 2 minutes ahead.
Yeah, skip like 2 minutes ahead.
This ties directly into Unbreakable, the movie with Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Fantastic. The movie itself, I didn't care so much. It's not like a movie that I would really, really get into.
But the tie
into
the Unbreakable is what sold you on
but
it?
But the tie into Unbreakable made it all, like, I really like the idea of having this universe.
Yeah.
That, I even hate the term universe now because of all this other movie stuff that's going on. But he's really just doing, it sounds like he's just doing three movies. And they all tie in, but the first two movies don't really have anything to do. They're totally separate stories.
Yeah. Which is great.
I like that. So you're getting a pyramid of these two stories at the bottom, and then they both conclude in the third act.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I got to watch it still. I loved Unbreakable.
And
so.
It's very different from Unbreakable.
I'm watching the time to make sure we get this one in 2 minutes.
Okay. It's too late. We've passed 2 minutes.
No, we haven't. We're good.
Oh.
We're good. I still want to ruin this for anybody. All right. So, yeah.
That's that. And I have one more thing, and it's the letters to Mattel.
Oh, yeah.
I have a letter to Mattel.
This looks like a short one.
This is a short one.
Yeah.
Even so. Dear Mattel.
Even so. Even so.
Even so.
Looks like a short one. Even so, it will still have merit.
It will. It's packed. It's jam-packed. Dear Mattel, your time is up. Just in case, though, one, iron ore.
It's over, but okay.
I'm actually not very good at. I'm not good at gambling here.
Empty threat.
Yeah. Iron ore, mineral man.
I get it.
Two, meteor.
Not much to go on iron ore. It just
he's made of minerals.
It's okay. Yeah.
Two, meteor.
You don't want to spoon feed him,
right?
You know, you've given him enough. You've given him a name. You've given him something to run with.
Let the creative
take
juices
it from here, okay?
Let the juices flow. I'll leave it to
you. You guys are babies.
Leave it to your art department.
Yeah.
Meteor, handsome Eternia beefcake. Not even Ooh. Tila can withstand his evil charms. Plus, landed here on a fallen meteor.
So he's like a meaty, like meteor.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a beefcake. He's meaty.
He's a beefcake,
but he's also a meteor. Like
he came here on a meteor. He fell on a meteor.
Okay. Okay, I'm with it.
He landed here on a fallen meteor.
He did.
I guess. I don't know if that's.
He's got to make his way back to Eternia. Yeah, he needs you that one vehicle that gets him slowly up there.
That's what he's going to do. Marlboro Man.
Wow. Not Marlboro Man.
Evil producer of death sticks.
Wow. Hey, that ties into the top five a little bit.
Yeah.
The death sticks.
Remember, don't give up on the Eternia playset.
I'll never give up.
That's
it. It's a short one, but
even so,
it's still there. All right, so here's the next news item that will tie into our top five. The directors for Han Solo have been given the boot. Lord and Miller, I can't remember what their first names are. Josh Lord, Chris Miller, maybe?
I don't know.
But they've been given the boot on the old Han Solo film. And there's been a lot of rumor and talk about what's going on behind the scenes with the film. We don't know how much of it's true, but a lot of it is boiling down to their brand of making movie is different than what Kathleen Kennedy and Lawrence Kasdan wanted. They wanted to stick to the script, follow the storyline the way it's supposed to be, and they wanted to put their own spin on it. Improvisation, moving off the script, making the Han Solo character more of a comedic character and not the sarcastic character that we get to know later in the films. There was even one report that said his Han Solo, this, I don't remember the guy's name, Aaron, whatever the guy is
Eckhart.
Playing,
it's Aaron Eckhart.
Something like that. This guy playing Han Solo, his version reminded people of Ace Ventura. That's rough. There was an acting coach brought in for him during the movie to try and save it. And eventually, I guess it just came to a head and they had to be let go. Because what they were producing wasn't working anymore. Kennedy went to check the dailies or something. And again, this is all rumor. We don't know how much of it's true. But multiple sites are reporting it this way. They were going over the dailies and what they were getting back is just, it's rough.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine veering far off the script.
That's really weird.
What they wanted with the movie. You can't.
So now Ron Howard has been brought in to try and save the movie, take up the directorial role, and do reshoots and fix what's there and finish off the film to try and get it to a product that's closer to what they want. The head of Disney is saying that there's nothing to worry about. Han Solo is in great shape. Of course he's going to say that.
Yeah.
Of course he's going to say that. I think it really boils down to the fact that you didn't need this movie to begin with.
Yep.
We didn't need a Han Solo movie.
Don't need it. Don't want it.
And now, and the more it seems like it's trouble and it's terrible, it's really don't need it.
Yeah.
Because now you're going to put out a product, maybe, we don't know yet, that bogs down the Han Solo character, which we don't need. We don't need him to be bogged down. He's fine in the four films you've got him in.
Yeah.
Great character evolution. Great character arc. Don't need any more than that. But they're going to give us more than that. And now it's kind of blowing up in their faces, it seems like.
The good thing is that you can always skip.
You can always skip it. So that got Mike and I talking about how, you know, there's certain characters that we really don't need any more from. And we came up with a top five list, the top five Star Wars characters that absolutely do not need a spinoff movie. Absolutely don't need one.
All right.
Don't want to see it. Our ground rules were they have to have a speaking line. Yes. In either the prequel trilogy or the classic trilogy. And you can't do just prequel characters because that would be really easy to just do five prequel characters. The most you can do is three characters from prequels or three characters from classic trilogy and then finish off your list with the two from whatever. I will say that finding classic trilogy characters that I couldn't make in my head at least somewhat worthy of a spinoff film was tough.
Really?
It was tough for me. Every character that I thought of was like, you know what? There's ways of making this work that they could possibly do a spinoff movie. Do I want it? No. But it could maybe work.
Yeah.
So it got really tough for me.
Well, if I had thought of it in those terms, there...
I really picked at it. Plus, I also... was also trying to think of your list and going, okay, well, Mike will probably have this. And I'd like to distinguish this list apart from each other.
Yeah.
So that is what we are doing right now. The top five Star Wars characters that absolutely don't need a spinoff movie.
All right.
Are you listening, Disney? Don't do it. Number five, Mike.
Greedo.
Greedo man. Greedy man.
Hoochabooto so.
Greedy
man. Del Beto Tisto have.
Del Beto Tosto.
Greedy man.
And greedy man.
Del Beto Del Tosto have.
I picked Greedo because I don't want to see it, but also because I could see them saying like,
this guy's got it. Let's explore what Greedo's got going on. Again, they could have enough to go on to make it.
He's a bounty hunter. You can make a bounty hunter. You can do whatever.
But I agree with you. I don't want to see a Greedy Man movie. I don't ever want to see Greedy Man.
I want to see a Greedy Man.
I don't
want
to see Greedo. But I do want to see Greedy Man. Greedy Man! Hey, he may have survived that. It wasn't powerful shot.
Well, a prequel sequel.
You get a prequel, sequel, whatever you want to do with Greedy Man. All right, number five for me is Ula, the slave dancer from Star Wars Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Maybe she could have a cool backstory.
Sure.
I don't want to see it. She's a dancer.
She's
just a dancer. I'm not interested.
You know how the story ends.
I don't care how she ended up at Jabba's palace. I don't care what you could do with the dancer story. Ulo's just a slave dancer that gets killed at Jabba's palace. That's enough for me.
Yeah. That's enough for me, too.
All right.
You could make it a...
You could.
Make it a...
You could do some kind of film with it. Yeah. But I don't think... There's enough there to do a film that would be interesting
just
at all.
Just be her journey as a child studying dance.
I don't want to watch that.
On Tatooine.
Ula, the Dancer's Tale.
Yeah, Dancer's Tale. Number five is Chunky.
Chunky the Wookiee Man.
Chunky
the Wookiee Man.
Chewbacca.
Now that one I could see a movie
now
for.
I could too, and I love Chewbacca, but I really don't feel like...
I agree.
Trying to translate his... he really works as a sidekick.
Yeah, yeah.
And... really serves his purpose there.
We've seen Chewbacca apart from being a sidekick in episode 3, and I was not interested in seeing that anymore.
Not interested in anymore.
Don't want it anymore. We see him in the holiday special with his family with other Wookas. Don't need to see that anymore.
I like the time that Chewbacca gets, and I like the time that he got in Force Awakens, a little bit more action time.
Yeah.
That's enough.
And I don't need to see any other Wookas.
Right.
I'm cool. That's cool that Chewbacca's unique. Yeah. I don't need to see other Wookas running around.
Yeah, I like him being on his own. Like, oh, here's an alien guy that Han befriended, and we don't know how that happened, and I'll fill in the blanks myself. Thank you.
I would love to hear the people whose episode this is their first episode and hearing us say these things that are from Star Worlds. They probably think that we really think that Wookiees are called Wookamen. Or Wookas. And we think that Greedo's called Greedy Man. Well, and Chunky.
I believe they are.
Like, what are these guys talking about?
They are in my heart.
Yeah. All right. So, number four for me. I keep putting these back and forth, and I don't know why I keep doing that. Number four for me, Dexter Jetster. The four-armed short order cook from episode 2 that Obi-Wan goes to see and somehow is able to identify this kyber dart or whatever it was that nobody else knows about. Dexter Jetster sucks.
He sucks. 50s Diner in Space sucks.
50s Diner in Space sucks. He sucks.
Yeah.
I don't care if you put an extra pair of arms on him. I don't care if the CGI improved or whatever. He's a terrible, terrible character. When I was looking at Woo-Her, the bartender in Star Wars A New Hope, because I rewatched Star Wars A New Hope, especially to look for anybody that was like, okay, I'm watching for people. I don't know about people in this. And Woo-Her, the bartender, at first came up to me as like, okay, maybe he's the one I wouldn't want to see a spinoff movie for. And I started thinking about him, and there's not a lot going on with him. He's gruff. He doesn't say much.
But you know he's getting a lot of information
Yeah. He's got all these people coming in. There's something he doesn't like about droids. There's some backstory there, and there's just enough to go, okay, well, maybe I would see something else with this character.
He's dealing in dirt.
The carbon copy that's crappier is Dexter Jetster for this character. But it was like the kid at school that wanted to make his stuff way cooler than your stuff. So Dexter Jetster's got an extra pair of arms.
Oh.
And he knows everything about everything in the world.
He's an Olean.
He knows about all the stuff in the galaxy. Yeah. You bring a dart to Dexter Jetster and he'll figure it out.
Look how clean and slick his diner looks.
So he's probably got this huge backstory with all these things he learned about before he ended up being the short order cook. I don't care, because he sucks. And the reason that you made him know everything is because you made everybody want to think, ooh, this guy, he's got a backstory. I don't care about his backstory. Right. I don't care about Dexter Jetster.
Suddenly
I want him to go away.
Not interested.
Stupid name, stupid character, don't know anything else about him.
Hey, you Han.
Now that I want to know more about.
You got a phone call.
Now I want to know more about him.
Couldn't agree more about Dexter Jetster.
Dexter Jetster sucks. That one is on the list, too, for Joe Younger, because Joe Younger also hated Dexter Jetster.
Yeah. Number three for me is...
Okay.
Nin Num. I'm sorry, Joe.
Joe did like that. Nine Num, whatever you call him.
I'm sorry, Joe.
Yeah.
I don't want to see a movie with that guy.
Okay. Yeah, maybe.
He was like a big fish. He's hard to understand.
I don't want to see the movie either, but
I can't hear it.
Again, maybe there's enough to make a movie, but I don't see it.
You could take any pilot or bounty hunter
and make it into a movie. You could.
I just
don't want to see it, though.
I don't want him carrying my story.
His lips are weird.
They're wet.
They're kind of, that grosses me out. I don't want to see wet nine numb lips.
The whole time.
For an entire movie.
It looks like.
That's probably going to be the title of this episode. Nobody wants to see wet nine numb lips for a whole movie.
He's probably, when he uses chapstick, he's probably putting some back in on the stick.
Yeah. That's how they make chapstick.
Yeah.
You take an empty tube and rub it across Nine Numb's lips. That's what he says. I don't know what he's saying. But he makes chapstick.
Yeah.
That's basically the gist of him. I agree. I don't see that.
He's weird. It's just a little weird.
He's a weird looking guy.
I like him. I like his figure. I like his action figure.
Yeah. Number three for me, Aunt Beru.
That was a runner up of mine. It's Aunt and Uncle Beru.
Uncle Beru, he might have an interesting backstory.
Yeah. Aunt Beru.
Aunt Beru, not so much. And I'm not a dog and women here. I'm not a dog and housewives. I'm not dogging any of that stuff. She just doesn't seem like she has an interesting backstory. She just makes blue milk and tells him to get a translator that speaks bocce. But Uncle Owen, or Uncle Beru, I'm sorry, he seems like maybe he's got something going on with Obi-Wan and with Anakin that they totally wasted in the prequels.
Yep.
They totally wasted any kind of backstory that those three characters could have had. But Aunt Beru doesn't feel like there's much going on. We're going to find out how she meets Uncle Owen.
That's it.
How she cooks dinner. That's about it.
That's what she's got.
I'm probably going to get in hot water for the things I'm saying on this episode.
We all like dinner.
I like dinner. I just don't need a whole movie about it.
Yeah.
I don't need a whole movie about milk. Blue milk? I don't need a whole
everybody
movie about
knows
it.
That Aunt Beru is pretty boring.
She's boring.
She's boring.
She's a boring
character.
She got a figure. Super boring.
Yeah.
All right, what you got?
Number two for me is Princess Padmé.
Oh, look at that. Now, there's going to be a lot of people disagree with that.
I know. Look. Natalie Portman is attractive.
Natalie Portman.
I agree with you. I agree with all of you. She's attractive. That character is two-dimensional as crap.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it was not her acting, because she can act, but script and everything she had to work with, it's so dull.
It's really a dull character.
Thinking about watching her try to act through those scenes. But Anakin, I love you. Yeah, that. No. How about you go over there and don't have a movie
about over here.
Don't have a spinoff movie.
Go this area.
Please don't.
Go this area.
I'm not really interested in... I know that you could make...
You could.
A princess. She goes off adventuring.
And she is more interesting in the Clone Wars cartoon, but again, you don't watch the Clone Wars cartoon. So
I don't.
That has no basis on this. But I agree. If you take the character from the films, it's just a very two-dimensional, very...
Yeah.
Just kind of there to move the story along character at many points.
Yeah, she just doesn't...
Cool outfits.
Yeah,
you know, very cool nicely designed outfits.
Just
that's about it, though.
Pretty boring. I was trying to pick something different too.
I understand. Yeah. This list, we got completely different between the two of us. I don't think we're ever going to double up.
Well, sometimes we will.
I don't think we're going to here.
Not here.
My next two, I don't think you're going to.
Okay.
Number two, Captain Typho. Remember Captain Panaka in episode one?
Yeah.
Kind of interesting, Captain Panaka. He kind of talked back to the Jedi, and he kind of, you know, talked back to the Queen a little bit.
And it keeps your breath fresh.
Yeah. Naka. But Captain Typho, when the actor wouldn't come back for the next movie, they created Captain Typho, which was a carbon copy of Captain Panaka, but they stuck a patch on his eye. Mm-hmm. Terrible character. Not interesting.
Not interesting.
Poorly acted. I don't care he got a patch over his eye. I don't want to see him in the movie anymore. Every time I'm seeing him, all I can think of is, I wonder what Captain Panaka would have done in this situation. I wonder what Captain Panaka was doing.
I wonder what he's up to.
For this right now. Yeah. What happened to him? I wonder what happened to Captain Panaka. If your character, all that people think about when they see your character is what happened to that other character, and what's the other character doing, you definitely don't need a spinoff movie.
Yeah.
Nobody needs to know anything else about you, Captain Typho, and your name sucks too. So, just get out of here.
Get out.
Probably a fake eye patch, too.
I bet he's probably fine. I bet he's got a good eye.
He's put it on there to seem cooler.
Got a good
like
eye.
Like a Nick Fury.
Yeah.
Or a, you know.
Rooster Cogburn.
Yeah. Something going on there. A runner-up for number two for me, and I'll say this in here because I wrote them both down together, was Jocasta Nu, who was the librarian Jedi.
Oh, my goodness.
From episodes two and three.
I don't even know these
librarian
characters.
Jedi. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
She's the one that Obi-Wan comes to see about the Kyber dart or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, if it's not in the archives, it doesn't exist.
She's keeping the scrolls.
She's keeping the scrolls, basically, and that's about it. Now, her character got expanded in the Clone Wars cartoon.
Okay.
She got some backstory and everything, but I don't care. She's a Jedi librarian. I don't care. I don't want anything else about her. But they kind of gave her a backstory and the other things. So I couldn't keep her on the list. It's like, okay, well, they're already kind of exploring a backstory for her in other media or in the Clone Wars cartoon. So,
okay.
Jocasta knew the Jedi librarian.
She knew a lot. The movie. She knew a lot.
Yeah.
And that's why they keep her there in the in the library.
Jocasta knew Star Wars anthologies. Take a look.
It's Check it out.
All right.
Some of these characters, man.
Yeah, right. I know.
My number one is Bib Fortuna.
Oh, look at that. Now, I'm surprised that Jar Jar never made your list.
Jar Jar seemed very too easy.
I agree. Also kept Jar. Well, get back to Bib Fortuna. That's what I'm talking about.
I'll talk about Bib Fortuna.
Jar Jar seemed like the obvious choice. Yeah. It seemed the easy, obvious choice. The more I thought about it, the more I thought, if they did a kids movie, I could see Disney somehow doing a kids like animated Jar Jar movie or something. To the point where it was like, okay, maybe I don't want it, but I see that a potential is there and that they could possibly pull off a spinoff Jar Jar movie. Yeah. As terrible as it sounds, there is the potential there. And they were obviously pushing the character to be something like that.
Yeah, they were trying for that.
The Ewoks got two movies. Yes. I like the Ewoks better than that, but they were there as the comic relief thing and they were spinning off into like kiddie movies, kiddie cartoon series. So I could see that potentially Jar Jar could have these things happen. Yeah. And he was the obvious choice that as an adult fan, I'd never want to see.
It's low-hanging fruit.
Yeah. So go ahead with Bib Fortuna.
I don't know, just...
Big Fortunate.
With worms on my head.
Right-hand man with worms on my head.
That's basically how I think of him, so...
That's all he is.
I really don't need a translator.
Job of Worlds, right-hand man with worms on his head. I don't know what he's his major domo, which is like, I guess he arranges things. And,
okay, yeah, he's just like a... He's just a servant.
Basically,
a servant to a slug. He makes that face during that one scene.
Yeah.
I don't know. And his name's
Big Fortunate.
And his name's Bib Fortuna, and I just can't see it on a poster.
Yeah, you can't see that anywhere. All right, my number one. Are you done with
Big Fortunate? I'm done. Big Fortunate.
I'm gonna say this name. You don't even know the character.
Yeah, that's like the last two.
Jira.
Sound like the last one.
Do you know who Jira is?
Nope.
She is the old lady in episode one that runs a little shop where Anakin comes and she goes, "Wind's turning up, Annie. A storm's moving in. Better go home quick," or something like that. Oh. And he gets like fruits from her or something. And,
okay.
And she talks about what a nice boy Anakin is. She's an old lady that runs a fruit stand, but she got speaking lines in episode one. And this just boils down to, again, how hard a time I found finding a character in the classic trilogy with a speaking line.
Yeah.
That I couldn't think that there's something to that character.
Like, didn't seem like they were just
more.
Yeah, they're just thrown in there just to fill space, or
exactly, or that you'd gotten enough of that person or enough of that character. Every speaking line, it seemed like in the original trilogy, any character that had a speaking line, it was like, okay, maybe they're not doing much here, but you're getting just enough that it's like, okay, well, that character has something else going on, and it's got this going on, it's got that going on,
lending to the story somehow.
Yeah, and that they didn't waste anything. That it wasn't just fluff, and it wasn't just, you know, characters thrown in and lines just thrown in, that everything kind of was there and it was interesting looking, or if it was interesting to the story or something like that. There were so many in the prequels, and this one right here, Jira, that this character has a name and that it had a speaking line and it wasn't cut and it was in the movie. Just goes to show you how much the prequels really aren't good, and they're not good storytelling. And they don't hold a candle to the original trilogy.
Not even close.
Jira, the movie, the old lady shopkeeper that sells Anakin pallies, and it stayed in the movie. She warns him that a storm is coming.
They
better go home quick. Terrible.
Then she says he's a nice boy.
He says that might be a deleted scene, but she does say he's one of the nicest boy in the galaxy or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ha ha ha, he becomes Darth Vader. See how nice he used to be?
See how nice he was?
See, you do a throwaway scene like that to set up a contrast of his journey instead of actually showing the journey and have him be...
Yeah.
Because he was never nice in the other two, episode two and three.
So that's my number one.
Okay.
I never need to see anything else with the character of Jira from the Mos Espa Marketplace.
Okay.
I'll also say that doing this list and thinking about these characters and weighing out, like, what more can I see and what could they do with them? I don't need any backstories for anybody else.
Yep.
I never need it. Yep. Rogue One works. I like Rogue One because it's not so much a backstory of any characters. It's just another piece of a story.
It's a separate thing,
and it stars characters other than a couple of ones that come back, but not really advancing their story or telling their backstory. It's just they appear in this. It's just advancing the story. It's like a piece of a story. I don't need to know all these characters' backstories. I never need a Boba Fett movie. I don't need to know Boba Fett's backstory. I don't need to know Han Solo's backstory. I don't need to know Lando's backstory. I don't need any of the prequel backstories for any of these characters. That's enough. That's all I need. They're fine the way they are. Don't need it.
Yeah, he took most of my honorable mentions. There was Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, Darth Vader.
Yeah, there you go.
Boba Fett, Princess Leia, Princess of
Aurora. Everybody.
I
don't need any spinoff character movies. Period.
Rancor Keeper was the first one that came to mind, and then we had the stipulation that he had to have a speaking line. And I don't think he had a speaking line.
He cries.
He cries, and that's
it. That's not a speaking line.
It doesn't count.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
Rancor's Keepers.
Lobot.
Rancor's Keepers, Losers Weepers was going to be the title of the movie.
He could have been. Lobot, and he's got a pretty big role in Empire Strikes Back, but doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
And afterwards, right before we started recording, I thought about that. Like, oh, man, I wonder if Mike wanted to use Lobot, and I just ruled that out for him because they said no speaking lines. Lobot you could use. He doesn't have speaking lines because he can't speak, as far as I can tell.
That's right.
He communicates with his little headset thing.
He has a headset.
But he doesn't actually ever talk. So I'm not sure if he actually can talk. Who knows?
Nobody knows.
No, I think he talks in the Expanded Universe type stuff.
Maybe he just really respects Lando.
Maybe he just really respects Lando.
Whatever you say, I don't need to give you any back talk about it.
Lobach. Yep. All right. So that is the list. Agree, disagree. Do you want to see a Jiro movie? Do you want to?
Me? No.
Chime in on Facebook.com/actionfeatures if you do.
And if you don't?
If you don't, also chime in.
And tell us your synopsis for a Jiro movie or whoever.
Tell us how she got to Mos Espa.
Sure.
And open her fruit stand where she sells pallies. You'll love these pallies.
They're called pallies?
I'm pretty sure that's what he calls them. I could be wrong on that, but I'm almost positive Anakin says pallies. Pallies.
I gotta be honest, I haven't seen any of those movies in a long time.
They stick with you, though, man.
No, they don't.
They do for me.
I've forgotten most of what's in all of those things.
Yep.
I even forgot about Watto. Watto was on my list, and I crossed him out because that seemed too easy also, because I really hate him.
Yeah.
He's the Dexter Jester of episode one.
He's not Dexter Jester bad.
He sucks.
All right.
The used car salesman.
Republic Grants are no good here. I need something more real.
That guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not in a Star world. Not for me.
I didn't mind Watto that much, I gotta be honest.
Oof.
I did mind Dexter Jetster, though.
Okay.
Yeah. He was bad.
Yeah.
You heard they're putting the thing about the Jabba the Hutt might be in the Han Solo movie, too? Oh. It'll be a mix of practical and CG. At least that's something. Practical. That's
something.
That's something. Don't need him in there.
Does he have to be in every Han Solo story? He had an interaction. He had an interaction with him one time.
Yeah.
And then
they put him in to another one. So you get their interaction there. This is good popcorn, by the way.
I'm just saying the stuff that happened in the original trilogy, that's the cap on the one incident that he had because he did a job for him and it went bad. I don't have to have him be like, Jabba the Hutt babysit him as a kid and.
And it really stinks that we're going to get so many appearances of Jabba before Return of the Jedi, because the thing that is cool is you hear Jabba talked about, but you have no idea what he looks like until Return of the Jedi. Even though everybody knows now what Jabba the Hutt looks like. Yeah. Still, if you're talking about a storytelling perspective, talking about the character and then getting to the reveal of the character is way cooler than the character appears in episode one, and then he appears in the special edition of episode four, and here he is in episode six now you've seen him. It's... No. And then here he is in the Han Solo prequel movie. You've ruined the whole, progression to get to where he is and revealing him. You ruined it.
Yeah.
We all know what he looks like now. Eh.
Eh.
Eh. A Star World.
A Star World.
Eh.
Okay. James and Mike with Action Features.
Still 50 minutes.
Hope you guys enjoyed yourselves.
If you didn't, oh well.
You know we did. All right. Check it out.
Let's check it out. Oh, try like it right with
Yeah.